And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting Saturday Night Wine Stream and another exciting episode of Drink with Rick. This is Drink with Rick, episode 91. And tonight, we are going to open a type of wine we haven't opened up and tried for a while. This is a Rioja, a Tempranillo, and I'm going to enjoy this because I love Tempranillo. So we're looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to this, and I hope you are too, because we're going to have some fun tonight. This is an open chat night, so join in the chat and say hi and tell me how you're doing. Tell me what you're drinking, what you're not drinking, what you like to be drinking, or what you like to see me drinking, and if I could afford a bottle of it, maybe I can get it and drink it too. Anyway, this is Drink with Rick. This is a stream of consciousness kind of show. I do have show notes that are right here, but I don't always follow them. I rely on the chat because this show is not about me. This show is about the wine, but it's mostly about you and me, us, getting together on a Saturday night and enjoying a, you know, just a sit back and drinking wine, just having a good time. And you know what? You're really directing this show. It's your chat and it's your comments, your questions, the things that you want to talk about, that's what really drives the content on this show. So please join in. Don't be afraid to join in and hey, do some directing. That's what we're doing here tonight. So if you're joining me for the first time, you can watch, of course, on Facebook. If you're not already, you can watch on Facebook. Facebook page is at Drink with Rick or Drink with Rick. You can also watch on YouTube. YouTube is Drink with Rick, or on Twitch. Twitch is Drink with Rick 1, Drink with Rick the number 1. And on Twitter, it's at Drink with Rick. You can also catch it on the website. You can watch live on the website at drinkwithrick.com. The website is right here on the screen below me. And there is no chat there, but you can click on the post for that episode, that live episode that's running, and you can leave a message or a comment in the show notes down below, and I will respond in kind. Also, the podcast. Don't forget the podcast. You can't watch. You can always listen to the podcast. Podcast goes out Monday nights, Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern time, every Monday night. Yeah, this is a lie, folks. There's no editing on this. Eastern time, 10 p.m. Eastern time each Monday night. And you can subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, your favorite Android device, Stitcher Radio, Blueberry.com, iHeartRadio, Deezer, Amazon Music, and on your Amazon Echo device. Just say, hey, wake word, Drink with Rick, play Drink with Rick podcast, or play the latest episode of Drink with Rick, and you should be able to play it. Also on the new podcast index site, we're on there as well. So that's pretty exciting. Also, by email, you can subscribe by email. Just click on that link there on the subscribe page at drinkwithrick.com and put in your email address, and you'll get the latest episode as soon as it drops in your inbox. As soon as it drops. And I promise no salesman will call, at least not from me. Okay. But anyway, that's how to get a hold of the podcast every week. And let me know what your thoughts are in the podcast. Tell me, give me a fair review. I'd appreciate it. Fair and honest review. Okay. And let's see who's in the chat here. On Facebook, Ed is in the chat. My good friend, Ed. Ed arrived. And I'm glad to see you here, Ed. I'm really thrilled that you're here. Sorry you missed last week. Last week we had some dad jokes going here. We had a bunch of dad jokes, and I knew you would have really enjoyed that. But we can always throw those up there too again today too if you want. You can put in your best dad jokes tonight if you want. That's fine. No problems there. Also on Twitch, KM Bread is in the chat in Twitch, and KM Bread says, hi, Rick, and hi right back, you KM Bread. I hope you're doing very well. It's Barnstars in the chat, and he says, evening, Rick and CM Cinder. Hey, and KM Bread. And the gang's coming in. That's good. That's great. I'm glad to see you all. By the way, for those who won the book last week, the dad jokes, you know, we voted on the best and the worst dad jokes that everyone submitted, and I had the books. They just arrived. The books just arrived, so they'll be going out as soon as I get some more envelopes to send them out in, which they should be arriving Monday. They'll be arriving. This is the dad joke book. This is the 500 plus dad jokes. And I was flipping through one of these the other day. It just came in towards the end of the week here, and I was flipping through it, and some of the ones that we actually we're telling each other, but a lot of the ones are not, and there were some I've never heard before, which I thought were quite funny. And I like a good dad joke and a bad dad joke too. They're all good. As Barnstar says, no worries. That book looks great. Yeah, I rather enjoyed flipping through it, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it too. Let's see what else we have going on here. Kind of quiet on YouTube. Okay, no worries there. But we're going to try to keep this a little bit on the short side tonight because I've been a little. It's been a long week, folks. It's been a long week and not much sleep for me. And I've been really tired and I'm a little under the weather tonight. So I want to kind of have a chance to sort of recuperate. So we're probably not going to go too late tonight. and I can hear my wife's eyes rolls as I say that because her eyes roll because she's heard that many times before. But I'm going to try and keep this down tonight. Okay, so here is the wine that we're going to be drinking tonight. This is called Side by Side. This is a Rioja. This is a Spanish wine. Yeah, it's from Spain. Genuine Spanish wine from Spain. It's from the Rioja region of Spain. And this is 100% Tempranillo, or so it says. So we're going to take a look at that shortly. In fact, here's the back. Here's the back of it. I'm going to go ahead and read it because I think let's just go ahead and get into the meat potatoes of the show. Side by side, Rioja. And there's some some Spanish words here. Crianza 2017, our Riojas reflect a deep attachment to the land and to our loyal companions. The exuberance and youth of a puppy is captured in our Crianza, the youngest offering in the collection. Forged in strength, side by side, and it comes from by Promesa Oyon, España. And there is... I believe it doesn't say, does it? No, it does not say. It does not give the alcohol content on here. Oh, no, yeah, it's up the top. 13.5% alcohol by volume, ABV, in this 750 milliliter bottle. So that's what I'm going to open up tonight. And I've got some other information on this wine, but we'll go through this. In fact, I've got a text sheet on this wine that I pulled up from their website. And I will read some of that to you. We'll go over some of the specs while the wine is opening up in the glass. In fact, let's go ahead and start that process now. See, I'm trying to keep the show moving. So we'll go ahead and I'm moving a little too fast. Got to have the foil cutter first, right? All right, let's open this bottle of wine. And let's get this show on the road, so to speak. And I hope everyone had a great week. Mine was, like I said before, mine was really, really busy, and it was a very long week. Had a lot going on, and but it's the weekend now, and I tell you what happened to me is I was up pretty late last night, and of course, now I was up late last night for one reason, because we were watching the latest episode of Baby Yoda, the Mandalorian, also what I call Baby Yoda, and we watched that, and then because the Disney Plus channel, it's all on Disney Plus, and my son and I decided to stick around and look at some of the making of featurettes that they had along with the show, which is fascinating, by the way, fascinating stuff, and it's amazing just how far the technology has come with this on that show. I'm just really impressed with it, but. After that, we were just kind of skimming around some of the other things on the Disney Channel, and we came across a couple movies in 4K that we thought, oh, wow, we've never We haven't had much of an opportunity to watch something in 4K. We have a 4K TV, but we haven't really seen much in 4K. So we turn them on. We're really impressed. We're kind of mesmerized by that. Pretty good, actually. Anyway, so long story, not as long, is we went to bed pretty late, and I pretty much slept in all day and didn't really get up till about 2 in the afternoon. But I needed that rest. I really needed it. Anyway, so we got the wine open, and we're going to pour it out of the aerator, my trusty aerator from the Veneto Wine Lover set, which you actually can purchase online at Amazon. And there is a banner and I think a couple of links somewhere on my site for this set, for the entire set. And you can purchase it from there if you want to or not. It's fine. If you do purchase it, then Amazon, Jeff Bezos may throw a few cents my way. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm thinking I'm on there as an affiliate, so who knows? We'll see what happens. Anyway, so we've got that in here, and then of course to hold the wine, I have my trusty Galway Genuine Irish Crystal Glass from Ireland, given to me by my employers at buytwowayradios.com. And we're going to go ahead and pour a little bit of this. Let's pour a little bit of this wine in the glass. And we'll just a little bit for starters, because we're going to let it breathe a little bit, open up. We'll let that bouquet come out. And actually, I'm getting one right now. I was it's going in the glass, and I can. So it's a pretty powerful bouquet from here. And I'm about a foot away from this glass. So this should be interesting. We're going to find out more about the wine. But first, let's go back to the chat. And it's Barnes. Oh, Kane Brett says, how do you make holy water? You boil the hell out of it. Actually, I think that's one of the jokes in this book. But that's good. That's good. I like that. Okay. It's Barnstar says, just wanted to let you know that your Twitch people, that your Twitch page still has last week's wine description next to the live icon. Oh, yeah. I forgot to change that out. Thanks. Good catch. Good catch. Thanks for catching it. I try to switch those out, but it's not. It's something that I will usually wind up doing last minute if I do it at all. And then sometimes I don't think about it till after the show, and then I do it then. He says no biggie, but I just wanted I just wanted to mention it. This was my favorite episode of The Mandalorian thus far. Yeah, I rather enjoyed it myself, although I was really perturbed about the end a little bit, but I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it yet. I don't know. I know, Ed, you're probably watching The Mandalorian, but I don't know if you've seen that episode yet or not, but no spoilers, not for me anyway. So let's go ahead and oh, it's still quiet on YouTube. Okay, no problems. Let's go ahead and learn a little bit more about this wine. Now, what I found about this wine is, once again, this is a what we're drinking here, the Side-by-Side Rioja 2017. And I found not a whole lot about the wine, but I did go to the website for the vintner, and I did get a text sheet on this, which I actually have right here. I have a copy of it right here. Crianza 2017, and which is what this is. And it says Rioja Alta and Rioja Altavesa. That's the vineyard. The variety, 100% Tempranillo. So that's what they're saying it is, 100% Tempranillo. And I believe them. I believe them. Alcohol degree, 13.5%. We went through that. Total acidity, 5.2 to gallon. Okay. And I think that's what that is. No, I don't know. Harvest date, third week of September. Bottling date, October 2019. Ventification, fermentation in stainless steel tanks with temperature control. Maceration for 17 days. Aging 12 months in American oak tree barrel. So, interesting. Interesting. I'm going to read some of the vintage report. I'm just reading directly from their text sheet. It says, this vintage is marked by the frost in the spring and for the large water shortage that led us to a very early harvest. Only the autumn rains brought humidity to the soil. An extremely mild winter without rainfalls preceded a spring of also very short rainfall. May and June had rains just to keep a minimum hydric level in the plant. In August, we anticipated a very early harvest, and just at the end of the month, a water storm offered us 40 liters per square meter, which was extremely good for the plant and for the harvest. As a result, the perfect maturity came some days later. Well, it sounds like they had a pretty good harvest there for that grape. So this should be very, very interesting to try. Let's see what we have here. I purchased this from Wine Store, winestore-online.com. And if you go up there, you can see how much I paid for it, but I'll tell you in just a moment, because I searched around for pricing. From their own website, they had it priced for $24.99 a bottle is what they had it from for the, I think, the vintner, the bottler. And I think a couple of the other retailers there had it for, I think the highest I saw it was $24.99. I went on Wine Searcher, didn't see a whole lot of not a lot of places, but I did see that Westgate Wine in North Carolina had for $16.99 a bottle. So, but I'll tell you what I paid for, and I didn't bring the I forgot to bring the receipt up here with me. It's over across the room, but I'll tell you that I paid $12.99 a bottle for this bottle of wine, which sounds like it might, if it's every bit as good as I've heard it is, probably a pretty good bargain for this wine. We'll find out in just a few moments. We'll go ahead and try it now. And, you know what, before we try it, let's go back to the chat for a minute and see. Ed's kind of quiet in the chat here at the moment. And let's see. As Barnes just, Kim Britt says, I'm working on some math homework, so I'll be lurking in chat. No problem. No problem. Good to have you here. It's Barnstar says, cool, happy mathing, Kim Britt. I was looking up the wine bottle online, and it's well reviewed. Yes, it is. It seems to be well reviewed. A lot of people seem to like it. Got 5 stars on Wine Searcher from of course, I don't know. I the reviews sometimes, you can't always trust all the reviews. I think Vivino had gave it a 4 stars out of 5 from some of them. So, but it looks like it is pretty well reviewed. I trust a 4-star overall rating better than a 5-star overall rating, and especially if you're if you're shopping on Amazon, some places like that. Well, I'm not even going to go there right now. That's a rant for another time. As it is right now, let's taste this wine. Some cherry. It's a little bit on the earthy side, but there's some cherry notes and I have to try a little bit more of that. I'm right now, I'm pulling up to make sure all my pages are coming up, because I heard myself. I'm listening to myself on a delay, and I want to make sure that we didn't lose the feed anywhere. Okay, so everybody can see me. That's good. I always worry about that. And all this old equipment, I'll talk about that in a little bit. Working on that, on updating this old equipment. In the meantime, let me try this again. I sort of messed it up because I didn't smell it first, did I? And, right on the nose, I'm getting some blackberry. And, let's see. Yeah, blackberry and dark berries. Let me give it another taste, because it wasn't fair. The first taste, I was getting a little bit of blackberry in the taste, but I kind of got thrown off with what was going on here on my screen. Give it a second taste to confirm. Blackberry and some cherry, and I want to say a hint of maybe a hint of clove, and I like clove a lot. I like clove. I didn't really taste. They're saying cinnamon. I don't know if there's any cinnamon in this that I'm tasting. It is a little earthy. I'm not really tasting cinnamon per se. Maybe a hint of tobacco. It has a very interesting finish. I'll say that the finish, It's not a real long finish, and it's not a super quick one. It's just it lingers for a few moments, and that's it. But in the finish, it's kind of all blackberry, I think. And to me, maybe the blackberry notes are just a little bit strong with this. I would say that it's a little bit earthy, and it is quite tannic. I mean, I'll say that there are a lot of tannins in this wine. A little more than I expected, I think. But it's not bad. It does have a dark complexion. It is full-bodied. There's no doubt about it. In this light, it's kind of hard to tell. Yeah, it's kind of not really, really bold, but maybe bold. Not as bold as what we had a couple weeks ago. But it is kind of a bold wine. It is fairly full-bodied. It is a dry. This is a dry wine. Okay, this is a dry wine. And it's also, I'm getting a hint of chocolate in there now. I'm getting just a little bit of hint of chocolate, but it is fairly earthy. A little, not quite leafy, but kind of earthy. I don't want to say dirt. That's kind of like strong. But yeah, it's a pretty earthy wine. Interesting. I'm going to have to try it with some of these foods. And I forgot to show off the foods that I have to pair it with. Boy, I hope everything's running on this chat. Everybody can see me okay, right? Okay. Algorith is in the chat. Algorith says, hi, Rick, and right back at you. Algorith, it's good to see you. Algorith. It's pronounced Algorith, right? I know, it's good to see you here tonight. Where were we here? Okay. Oh, Ed 2 is here. And Ed Panis is here too. So we got both the Eds in here again tonight. Both of them missed the dad joke night last week. And I know both of them like good dad jokes. So that's good. But you can give me some dad jokes tonight. We'll do another dad joke night, and I'll probably give away a couple more of these books as time goes on. Probably a little bit closer to, we are in the holidays, aren't we? Maybe next week or week after, we'll do that again, because that was a lot of fun. We had a great time. Everybody here had a great time. Anyways, good to see you, Ed. I'm happy you're here. How's Shelley? How's everybody doing? I hope everyone's doing well. Okay, so we have the wine to pair it with. We have this. I'm going to give you a shot of this. We have some steak here, and I'm not sure exactly what steak we have here. My wife, Chi, could tell me. We had a little bit of tonight. I didn't eat a whole lot tonight, but I have a couple more pieces to try with this wine. And this should go pretty well with this Tempranillo. I think so. And we have also, she made a cabbage. She said it was a stuffed cabbage. It was like stuffed cabbage roll. And I got half of one of these left. We're going to try that with the wine, because I thought these were quite good. I had that for dinner too. And I thought, you know, this might go okay with this Tempranillo as well. We also have some cheeses. We have we have cheddar. We have what is this here? Is this Swiss? And then we have, of course, the Trader Joe's Double Cream Gouda, which I so enjoy, and which we've never had a miss on this show. I say that every week, don't I? But we haven't. Oh, yeah, the thing in the middle. That, if you're wondering what that thing in the middle is, that is a slice of my wife's hot, fresh apple pie. Now, I don't know how hot it is now, because she brought it up about 10 minutes before the show started, so it might not be, it's still kind of warm. But we'll try a little bit of that, too. Why not? For dessert. She made that while I was prepping for the show tonight. She made that up. So I'm looking forward to trying this. She makes a great apple pie, by the way. And Pete's in the chat. Pete's great to see you. Pete says, hi, Rick. Finally out of Facebook penitentiary and able to post again. Wanted to ask you before Thanksgiving what wine would go with the great turkey we cooked up. Never thought it would have been a good question. Well, it was a very good question. And it still is a good question, because some people are going to have Turkey again for their holiday dinners coming up as well. And once again, the turkey, the pinots that we've tried in the last couple of weeks, I think would go really great with the turkey. And I'd say a nice Zinfandel would probably, if you like the reds, a nice Zinfandel would go good with the turkey. So that would, and Pete says, we ended up using Denise's favorite Catawba. Oh, yeah, the pink Catawba. Yeah, that's her favorite wine, isn't it? Pink Catawba. I have to bring, I have a bottle of it downstairs still. I have not opened, but I might bring it up here sometime just to show it off. And pink Catawba wine, that is very interesting wine. I'm not much of a sweet wine person. I'm really not. And that's a sweeter wine, but Denise really likes it. And I think the kids might like it better, you know, this time around. They might like the pink Catawba because I think they kind of gravitate more towards the whites and the sweeter reds than I do. I know that my wife does. So anything else going on in the chat? Algorith says, how do you manage people that have poor taste? Have you got difficulties talking about wine with friends in the past, and do you try to help them, or you just pass on?
Here's
the thing. Once again, how to manage people that have, well, I mean, if somebody says, here, try this Mad Dog, and we'll sit around and drink Mad Dog, I mean, I'd have to sort of politely decline, but unless there's absolutely nothing else to drink, even then, I don't think I'm doing that. But look, I want to be a gracious guest, so I'm not going to say that their wine is bad or anything like that. I'm not going to tell them. I'm just going to, you know, have a sip or two of wine. If it's not to my liking, then I'll just kind of maybe put it down, and, you know, maybe if they got some beer there, I'll switch to beer or something else, or maybe just say I'm on a diet, or I'm driving if I'm at their house. If I'm not at their house and they're at my house, I guess can't use that one. But no, seriously though, everyone has their own tastes, and I've talked about that many, many times before. Everyone has their own tastes, and I'm not going to be judgmental over, you know, if someone else likes a wine that I don't. And I've had wine recommendations from folks who've recommended wines to me that we've actually tried, that I tried, that I didn't particularly care for. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that they have poor taste in wine per se, as in most cases, as much as it means that their taste in wine is different from mine, pretty much. I hope that answers the question, Algoritha. You kind of have to be diplomatic about those things, especially if you're a guest in someone else's home or domain or something. You want to be diplomatic, you know, about it. Ed says, I'm going camping this week. What wine would you recommend for camping? Planning on having steaks and taters for dinner one night. Thanks. Wow. Steaks and taters. Well, this wine we're drinking now might go pretty well with this steak and some potatoes. This is a Tempranillo, but if you're going to carry, if you're going to go camping, you can't go wrong with a good Pinot. I know I keep saying that all the time, but if you're going to be having a lot of different eclectic foods on a camping trip, a Pinot Noir is probably a pretty safe bet to go with. And once again, a Zinfandel. You know, it's hard to go wrong with some of the Zins if you like the reds. If you like the wines, maybe a Pinot Grigio. Well, it kind of depends. Some people, you know, Chardonnay. Maybe not for steak and potatoes. Not for that wine trip. I have to give that one some thought. But while we're thinking about it, let me go ahead and fill the glass again, and then we'll try it. Let's try it with some steak. Here, if you're having steak potatoes, let's try it with this one and see if it works. Steak and potatoes. Two of my favorite foods. Steak and potatoes. In that order. Mm-hmm. All right, let's try it with this wine. Well, It's pretty good. As I expected, it goes pretty well with the steak. No surprise. Now, it is somewhat acidic. This wine is somewhat acidic, which is not a bad thing to go with the steak. The same with the tannin. It depends on how you're cooking the steak, too. If it's pan-fried, maybe go with the Pinot. If it's going to be really, really grilled or over an open fire, this might be pretty good for that. I'm going to clear the palate just a minute. And we'll try it. We'll try it again. Let's try it again. Take two. Kind of like with the steak. And it's not every day I have steak. So I'm rather enjoying this. Let's see. This Tempranillo is not bad, actually. And I like a good Tempranillo. As I've said so many times. Yeah, I think I could like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not bad. Not bad. One of the things that this Tempranillo might go good with, and if you look at the label on the front, on the label, you see the three dogs. That's a painting, and apparently this the company, the vintner that does this wine, and from what I've heard, they have three different wines and they all use different paintings with these dogs, basically like hunting dogs. And this is a sort of thing where this wine is touted to be a good wine for if you're like a hunter and you're going to go game hunting and you bring back some game like venison or something. This is a wine that should go okay with some wild game and some venison. I haven't had any wild game in ages. It's been a while since I've had venison. I think the last time I did, it was some venison jerky some years back, which was quite homemade venison jerky, which was quite good. Actually, so and Ed says any labels you can recommend. Well, if you're going to go camping and you want the Tempranillo to go with this, I recommend this one, the side by side. That would be pretty good. But let me see. There are a couple. The Han Pinot Noir that we tried a couple weeks ago. I think that would be a good choice. The Han, and that's a wine that you can pretty much pick up at just about any local supermarket. If you have a local Publix or something, I know we picked it up. I think we got that from the local Harris Teeter supermarket, which is one of the big chains here in North Carolina. But down where you live, I'm pretty sure Publix carries that, and that might be a good wine to take with you on the camping trip. And if you and Shelley both are going, then that Pinot would probably be a good choice for both of you if you both like reds. I don't know, what does she like? What does she like to drink, Ed? You know, I'm pointing at the chat because I'm reading the chat, but you're right there. You're watching me there. It's an odd habit I have. Anyway. I know you're there, Ed. Your words are there. Your face is there. It's okay. It's all good. So I have no shame. Okay, let's try it. Let's move right along. I want to try it with this cabbage. And this cabbage, let me give this, I'm going to have to cut this a little bit. It's, once again, it's like a cabbage. Well, my wife calls it a stuffed cabbage, but it's like a cabbage roll, and it's stuffed with carrots and water chestnuts, and I think some turkey bacon is what she had in here. As a matter of fact, she told me that was the turkey bacon. Seriously, I'm not joking. She told me this was a turkey bacon that we had this morning. That was left over that I did not eat because I slept in till 2 p.m. in the afternoon. So literally, this was the turkey bacon I was going to have for breakfast, but I didn't have it for breakfast. So she held on to it and put it in this. I know. Okay. I'm not making this up. This is what she told me. Of course, you might be making it up. I don't know. Somehow, I don't think so. All right. This is very good, by the way. I really enjoy this. Very good. Fill up the glass again. I really like this, actually. Hmm. Wow, that's a nice pairing. It mixed really well with all the veggies. I like that. It's good. I like that very much. Very good. I enjoyed it. Let's go back to the chat for a second. And let's see. Okay, Sparnstar says, I've gotten into the habit of picking up a red wine at the store to try out during your wine streams and go into the selection blind, and it's fun for me that way. It is. You go into the selection blind, never tried it before. I have never tried all these wines that I've had on the wine stream. I'm tasting them for the first time. I mean, there are wines that I like. There are wines that I wanted to open and try, but no, I save them for the stream, and then I try them for the first time on the stream. And that's my first, experience with each bottle. And it's fun that way. It really is fun that way. And it's more so says, I picked out a cab from 19 Crimes this week from Southeast Australia, the Square Guy State of Victoria, because I like the label and it's pretty good. Very bold, but it finishes well. I have had that. As a matter of fact, I was given a bottle. I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah. You know what? I think it was Pete. Pete gave me a bottle of, 19 Crimes as a gift a couple of years ago. It was not the same vintage, obviously, but it was a couple of years ago. And it was. It was a very, very bold wine, but it was actually pretty decent. Pretty easy. I was surprised. And I'd seen it at, I'd seen it for sale for so long. I'd seen the label. It's been around. The label's been around for some years. I just never got around to buying one and trying it out until they bought one for me. And I thought, okay, this is really, really good. I rather enjoyed it. Algorithm says, I love the side-by-side label. It is a really good label. The paintings are just really fabulous paintings. And Sparnstar says, even picked out a fancy French cheese to go along with it. Well, good. What cheese did you get? What cheese was it? And speaking of cheese, let's go ahead and finish this tasting for just a moment. But, Algorith, if you're not familiar, there's another one that has a great, let me see if I can pull it up here later. I don't know if I still have it in the system. I should. Let's see. It's my photos. Do I have it? Do I have it? Do I have it? No, it's not my photos there. Let's see. Mine's okay. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. It's after the hamburger. Okay. Not that one. Let's see. No, it's not that one. It's this one. Okay. Escorlata. This is another one of my favorite, all-time favorite wine labels for a very good wine. This is a 2018 Escorlata, and this is from a painting. I want to say it was from 1812, a painting from 1812 or something like that. The war, the Spanish-American War, I think, or something. It was one of the wars, and it was commissioned. This painting, what it was, is that the bottler got the rights to this painting to put on his label. He's got the rights for 10 years, and so he's had a limited edition of this on his bottles for the last couple of years. So I really enjoy that. I've got a couple of these bottles back here, as a matter of fact. I have one right here on the back shelf. I don't think anybody can see it, but it's there. And we opened it up, tasted it right here on the wine stream for the first time. It was very, very good wine, actually. I really enjoyed it. So getting back to the chat here on Facebook, Ed says she's not going camping. She's not a fan of sleeping on the ground. But then again, you can always set her up with, a nice the cots and then everything else. And glamping, what we call glamping. Never been glamping. I've been camping like you, roughing it, camping, real camping. Never been glamping. I know my sister's been glamping before, and I think she's rather enjoyed it. I am not a glamper. I am a camper. And I don't mean camper as in a sit inside a camper. I mean, you go camping outside, on the ground. Yeah, that's always fun. Unless, of course, it's the it's the middle of the rainy season in Florida, and everything gets flooded out in the middle of the national park or whatever. I told that story before. Spent a weekend camping in Ocala National Forest, and it just decided to just as soon as my friend's wife dropped us off. And we started on it was a hiking trip for a couple of days for the weekend, and as soon as she dropped, so I think it was like a few hours after that, it started drizzling, and then we kind of knew we were in for it, and the whole weekend was just it was kind of a mess out there. It was just and flooded and everything else like that, but we had a great time. We had a great time. It was a lot of fun. It was really so. Yeah. All right, went off on another tangent again. It's Marcia says, fromager d'Affinoy. D'Affinoy, okay. Fromager d'Affinoy. It's a soft cheese similar to brie. Yeah, I know that cheese. Haven't had it lately, but I don't think I've ever had it, actually. Brie I've had, but I've seen the cheese. I know of the cheese. It looks like my stream cut out on Facebook. Can everybody see the stream on Facebook? I hope so. I know I always ask that, and it's seems like Facebook just cuts out on me all the time, coming back to me. So I'm going to refresh that page and see what happens and see if it comes back. That's a risky move on my part because it might not come back. Well, let's see. All right. Well, it came back. What do you know? There's an edit I'm going to have to do later. Okay, let's get back to the. I think that's my browser doing that. Let's get back to the tasting, and I have the cheddar cheese. We're going to try it with cheddar, and it's actually a good cheddar, by the way. We're going to try it with a little bit of the wine. As a Tempranillo, it should be okay with this. Yeah. Interesting. It's a little more earthy. It's a little earthier when I try it with the cheddar cheese. That's interesting. But it actually goes fairly well with it. It's okay. It's not bad. But it does taste a little earthier when the cheese. And cheese says Facebook. Okay, thank you. I had to refresh my browser. For some reason, it just cuts out on me a browser. I have old equipment. Once again, I'm going to cover that in a couple of minutes. I've got some exciting news about it, some real exciting news. I'll let you in on it in just a few minutes. But let's go ahead and get back to the cheese. Let's go ahead and clear the palate a little bit. Okay, I'm going to clear the palate. Palate's cleared. Let's go ahead and taste it with the... Oh, you know what? Let me try it with the... I scratched it. Let me try it with the... I like to save the best for last. Let's try it with the Swiss. Let's try it with Swiss cheese. I'm not sure about the Swiss. A Swiss cheese, I think it goes better with some whites than reds. This is actually a pretty decent Swiss. It's not a baby Swiss. It's just like a regular Swiss. But... Let's see. Actually, not bad with the Swiss. It actually magnifies the flavor of the Swiss. And you know, Swiss cheese has a specific flavor. And this is actually magnifying that flavor without making too much of its presence known as a wine. Which is actually pretty good. I was surprised. I really wasn't expecting much from from this pairing with the Swiss. It's actually better than I expected. I like that. Clear the palate one more time. And we'll try it. Now we'll try it with the best for last, the brie. What am I saying? The cream, the double cream Gouda. This is the Trader Joe's double cream Gouda. Amazing cheese. Very good. Ooh. creamy as ever. However, and it's not a miss by any means, but however, it changes the dynamic a little bit with this wine. The cheese, what the cheese does is it actually brings out a little bit more of the, I got to try that again. I wasn't sure about that. Let me see. And try that one again. That one's interesting. The pairing's good, but it did something a little bit to the taste of the wine. And it did it again. It really kind of makes the acidity a little bit more pronounced. Brings up interesting, but it actually magnified the blackberry taste in this wine that I was tasting. It magnified it somehow, which usually, you know, the wine would bring out the flavor of the cheese. This time the cheese really did something to the flavor of the wine in a positive way. It was I liked it, and it was actually pretty good. So I'm a little surprised. I'm a little surprised here. Let me clear the palate one more time. Actually, pretty good. I know that was unexpected, but actually pretty decent. So far, I think this is actually a pretty good wine. Well, let's go back to the chat for just a moment and get some more of this chat. Again, it was a Barnstar says, again, it was a blind selection. And he says, Hugh, TJ's Double Cream Gouda barely passed, 91 for 91. Actually, I wouldn't say it barely passed. I think what it did was, and it's not the first time. It's not the first time. The Gouda, it still wins this time. It does. But in some cases, the Gouda has actually saved a wine that I didn't particularly care for. So in most cases, the wine really brings out more of the flavor of the Gouda cheese and makes it even creamier. But in a couple of cases, or two or three cases, it's actually saved a wine that I didn't particularly care for, that I said, well, I'd have the Gouda cheese. And the wine was a more, it was a bearable, actually better with the Gouda cheese than it was by itself. And I think this is a kind of a case here where the Gouda actually, and I'm not saying it saves this wine, because this is actually a pretty good wine on its own, but it actually kind of magnifies this wine a little bit more. So it's kind of the reverse of what I would have expected. As Barnstar says, oh, wow, I get it now. And so, Ed, I tell you what, if she's not going camping, and you like the Reds, you prefer the Reds? Or is it all beer for you? Beer, it's okay. You know, bring a nice dark lager with you, or you can't take a keg with you. I could see Ed. I could see Ed Panis. I could see you camping with a big keg of beer on your back. No, I'd say the Han. I'd say go with the Han wine, the Pinot. I'd say you can't go wrong with that. I think that's a pretty fair, pretty safe bet if you're going camping with the. You're not going to be shooting game out there and eating it right there, right? If you're going to be doing that, you might want to take this side by side. But if you're and keep it side by side. But if you're going to be taking some steak and potatoes, go with the Han. I think that's a good bet. I think it would be a great pairing. Okay, let's see what we have here. Algarith says, the side-by-side label kind of display a hunting the old-fashioned way. It matched with good meats, vintage lifestyle. It does. It does kind of conjure up some visions of old-style hunters and going duck hunting or something like that, or, you know, rabbit season, duck season. it's duck season, rabbit season. I could see Elmer Fudd in this photo somewhere. That's just my warped mind. What can I say? So we have the apple pie, we're going to try that last. We're going to try it last. But first, let's do this because it's getting late. Let's go ahead and we have some birthdays to toast. Birthdays and an anniversary. And I want to go ahead and do that now. So bring on the fireworks. Bring on the wine. And let's toast some birthdays and anniversaries. The first birthday I want to toast for my good friend Steve. Steve, who worked in the engineering department at WFL years and years ago. We've been friends for a long time, been Facebook friends for a long time. But we've been coworkers for even longer. And Steve, your birthday is today. Today, Saturday, this is the December 5th. I want to say to you, Steve, happy, happy birthday. And may you have many, many, many more. I want to also give a birthday toast to my friend Frank. Frank DeLeon, who we go way back to the OnForce days and back to the force field and all that sort of thing. He's an IT, old IT guy. Frank, this is for you. Your birthday is this coming Thursday, but I figured, you know what? Let's toast you now. Let's toast you now. Jump ahead, and it's a party earlier on that, right? So here's to you, Frank. Happy, happy birthday. Happy birthday. I also have an anniversary to toast. And this is, I'm going to fill in the glass again. I have an anniversary to toast, and this is for my friend Lee. Lee and Linda. They've been married for 8 years. Lee, this is a kind of a special toast, first of all. Lee and Linda Silverstein have been married for 8 years. Lee is a fellow podcaster. And what makes this a little bit special, at least for me, is that I've met Lee at PodFest years past. He's been to PodFest along with me and my son Tommy. And the thing is about Lee is that he does a podcast called The We Have Cancer Show. And he is someone who's battled cancer and who is a cancer survivor. And as you know, most of you know here, I've lost three family members to cancer over the years. And I'm very sensitive to that. And Lee has put on a very, very good podcast, very good show. If you ever get a chance to listen to it, give it a listen. I highly recommend it. It's at wehavecancer.com. Wehavecancershow.com. That's the website. Wehavecancershow.com. And I was just listening to an episode today, as a matter of fact. And he did an episode. The one I listened to today was one where he interviewed a lady that she had a rescue dog that actually helped her through her cancer issues, and it was a very touching story. It was very, very touching, and it was, how I say, I don't want to get too serious here on the show about this sort of thing, but cancer is a serious issue, and it is something that I'm sensitive to, definitely. So if you get a chance, check out his podcast. He handles it very well. He handled the interview with her very well, as he does his other topics. And he does a really, really fine job with his podcast of presenting, the battling cancer as a serious topic. And it's very poignant in many ways. If you get a chance, give it a listen. But anyway, he and his wife Linda, 8 years. Their anniversary was this past Tuesday, and I want to say happy anniversary to Lee and Linda Silverstein. To Lee and Linda Silverstein, happy anniversary. Here's to you. Happy anniversary. I think that does it for the birthdays and the anniversaries. Once again, we're drinking the Side-by-Side 2017 Rioja. This is a Tempranillo. And I'm liking this wine. It's actually pretty good. Be good for a hunting trip, after a camping trip, whether you caught anything or not. If you're going camping and you're going fishing, I wouldn't. This is not something I'd pair with fish. This is something that you'd pair more with red meats and game. Although it probably could go pretty well with a turkey, I think it would. Anyway, that's what that is. We have one other thing, too, the National Days. I want to give the National Days a quick read-off here because we got a few National Days to toast. And if you have a glass, get ready. If you don't have a glass, get one. And it doesn't have to be wine. It can be beer. It can be vodka. It can be rum. It could be a Coke. It could be water, whatever you want. Mountain Dew, it's fine with me. It's as long as we're toasting together, okay? And it's Marcia says, haha, be very, very quiet. Yeah, and you got to do it like this. Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting wabbit. Yeah, I used to do Elmer. For those who didn't know, I did have a previous life doing some character voiceovers and things like that for local TV. It's Barnstar says, glass ready? Okay, how about on this side of the room? Ed, the Eds, where are we here? And Pete, and Chi, let's toast some National Days. Ooh, there's some really interesting National Days coming up. By the way, these come from nationaldaycalendar.com. And my friend Marlo Anderson is the CEO of that. He's got the new calendar. The new 2021 calendar is out. I'm not making any money on it. I'm just giving them a free plug. This is just a free plug for Marlo and his crew over there. But the new calendar is out, and I think they have a limited supply, so get yours now. It's a fun calendar. We have the 2020 calendar on the wall in our room, so it's fun to look at and check. It's just kind of entertaining. Anyway, this is what I've got here for National Days. Today, December 5th, is National Sacher Torte Day. It's National I'm sorry, this one caught me off guard. I didn't really look at this one before the show. It's National Bathtub Party Day. Gotta have a bathtub party. Okay. I'm going to pour some extra wine for that one. National Bathtub Party Day. It's International Ninja Day. International Ninja Day. Who doesn't love a ninja, right? Everybody wants to be a ninja no. International Ninja Day. It's National Repeal Day. I don't know exactly what the details on that. I didn't look at them. National Repeal Day. I assume maybe repealing bad laws or something, which we have quite a few of. National Rhubarb Vodka Day. First Saturday in December is National Rhubarb Vodka Day. Has anybody ever had rhubarb? I've never heard of rhubarb vodka. I've heard of a lot of different kinds of vodka, not rhubarb vodka. So that's interesting. I might have to check that out. And today, the first Saturday in December, is also Skywarn Recognition Day. I can't believe I messed that up. Skywarn Recognition Day. Skywarn Recognition Day. I will definitely drink to that. Let's see. This is a Skywarn Recognition Day. The thing about Skywarn Recognition Day, if you're not familiar with what Skywarn is a network of volunteers and weather watchers who are trained Skywarn spotters. That's what they're called, Skywarn spotters. They're weather spotters around the world report on weather conditions. And especially if there's inclement weather coming, potato, potato. And they report on them. And these reports go to the National Weather Service and, of course, to local authorities there related to weather, some local TV stations. And there's a network of a lot of people who are Skywarn spotters are just regular people. They're all regular people like you and me. And they'll use their cell phone or they'll use a regular landline phone or they'll use, whatever they have available to call up and report the weather conditions in their area, the temperature, whether it's hailing and what kind of hail it is, the size, if it's dime size hail or basketball size hail or whatever, and hopefully we never have that. But what's raining and how much rainfall there is, and if there's a possible is there cyclonic activity going on, that could be a possible cyclone or a possible cyclonic. Yeah. It's if there's possible tornadic activity and water spouts and all that kind of stuff. Snow levels, things like that. These are people or volunteers all across the country that do this. And they are trained to do it. And you go through Skywarn Spotter training class to learn how to do it and how to correctly report it and watch for it. You learn about the different kinds of clouds, the cumulus clouds and then all that other kind of stuff and the cloud shelves and things like that. And people were trained to report that in. And whenever you hear the weather reports, or weather notifications or things like that, like on the news, and people will say, yeah, we're getting reports of this coming in here. We're getting reports of a quarter inch rain coming here or 2 inches of snow in this area. That they're getting those reports from Skywarn spotters. They're getting those reports from those Skywarn people. And my son Tommy and I, who were both ham radio operators, that's one of the things we did, was we went through Skywarn training. And so we are both certified Skywarn weather spotters, and that's what we do. We haven't done that in a long time, but occasionally if I can, I get up there and on my ham radio and we'll report in certain weather conditions. And that's what we do. And my daughter Tia also, she took she took the Skywarn class along with us, so we're all actually trained Skywarn weather spotters. So that's what Skywarn is. That was a long explanation, but that's what it is. Here's the Skywarn Recognition Day, first Saturday in December. I will drink to that. These are volunteers, mind you. December 6th, that's tomorrow, National Pawnbroker's Day. It's also National Microwave Oven Day. Okay, let's all use our microwave ovens tomorrow. I'm pretty sure a lot of us are going to be doing that anyway. National Gazpacho Day. It's also St. Nicholas Day, and it's Miner's Day. As in the mine, people in the mines, not miners like M-I-N-O, or like a kid. I'm talking about like a minor, not a minor or major in football. Football, what am I saying? Baseball. Yeah, maybe I have had too much of this. Two different sports. I was trying to say baseball, the wrong foot and mouth. Okay, so baseball. Yeah, no, it's not a minor versus major football. I did it again. Baseball league. I'm thinking baseball and saying football. You ever had one of those brain farts? I have them all the time. I'm having a couple right now. Okay, so this is National Miners, as in somebody in the mines. Coal mines, gold mines, diamond mines, all that kind of mine. Went too long with that one. Okay, so Miner's Day. Okay. December 7th. And the reason I'm including December 7th in this is because it is a day that has lived in infamy for many, many years. December 7th is National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. Because it's the Saturday before that, I wanted to give a special remembrance toast to Pearl Harbor Day. This is to Pearl Harbor Day, National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day, all the lives that were lost that day, and which really pretty much it brought us into World War II. That's what got us into World War II. We were trying, up to that point, we were trying to stay out of the war. We were trying to stay out of the conflict. But when Pearl Harbor was attacked, that put us right in full-fledged. And we're fighting on several fronts. We're, you know, fighting in several theaters around the world. It was literally a world war. And it was a devastating war. We lost a lot of people. Everyone lost a lot of lives. But this is to National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. It's also National Illinois Day and National Cotton Candy Day. I love cotton candy. Not supposed to be eating it, but I love it. Here's the National Cotton Candy Day. December 8th is National Brownie Day. Not a big brownie fan, but my daughter Tia is. CM Cinder, you love brownies, don't you? Yeah, we know you do. So does Tommy. So it's National Brownie Day. You didn't know that, did you? So I guess now it's time for your mom to make some brownies. I tell you what, I have an idea. Why don't you guys go downstairs and make brownies on that day? I think that's a good twist on that day. December 8th, National Brownie Day. And December 8th is Pretend to be a time traveler day. I tell you what, I'd like to go back in time for about 15 minutes into the show and kind of fix my mess ups with the football versus baseball. I guess that's not possible. Well, you know, you never know anything's possible. Unfortunately, I don't have a DeLorean, and I don't have a time tunnel or anything like that, so I can't fix that. Can't do anything about that. What's done is done. This is the thing. This is the, you know, it's both, as Monk would say, it's both a blessing and a curse, right? This is the thing about doing a live stream. Live TV, live video, whatever you want to call it, live stream, is that when you go live, whatever you do in real time, it's in real time, and you can't go back and fix it in the mix, so to speak, as we'd say in the music industry or the recording industry. Can't fix it in the mix. What goes out, goes out. And you know what? This is reminiscent of the early 1940s. And 50s when live television was there, and they did all that stuff live, and a lot of those early television shows were you know, that went live. If they made any errors or mistakes or they had some flubs, they had to just pick it up and go with it. They had to learn to improvise, and they had to learn improvisation. Because they make a mistake, they say the wrong thing here, do the wrong thing there. They have to kind of recover quick, and that's why some of those people that were doing live TV came from doing some stage stuff, you know, in the early days, because they had to learn improvisation to be able to pick up where the flubs were, and there've been a lot of flubs. Anyway, that's what being live is all about, and. It's Marshall says, we're a very forgiving audience, Rick. Well, I appreciate that. I do. And he says, I missed some of this up here. He says, I took a bath earlier, although there was no party, but I'll toast to that. Yeah, I've got to go take one later, too. You know, I'm going to wash off all this. There we go. As Marcia says, a toast to microwaves. Yes, we'll toast it again to microwaves. A great invention, which, by the way, well, let me toast it first. To microwaves. Did you know, a lot of people don't know, you know, because some people make fun of ham radio operators. And there was an episode, I remember an episode of NCIS they did a couple years back where they really put ham radio operators in a really poor light, made them look like they were all, you know, 40, 50-year-old people living in their parents' basement and that kind of stuff, you know, all shut-ins and whatever. And that really couldn't be any farther from the truth. Some of the greatest minds, some of the greatest inventors were ham operators. And a lot of famous people were amateur radio operators. Heck, the King of Jordan, King Hussein of Jordan, was a ham operator. He was. And there have been a lot of famous people, a lot of famous, people in the music industry, you know, rock guitarists and things like that. There were amateur radio operators. They got into amateur radio. But there were some very famous people that invented a lot of very famous things. And one of the things about ham radio, and that was what set ham radio apart from everything else, was that this is a hobby. Amateur radio, or ham radio as it's called, is really for kind of the hobbyists. And it runs the gamut of a lot of different areas. But one of the things is experimentation. They experiment with a lot of different things. It was ham radio. There were ham radio operators, licensed ham radio operators, that helped develop cell phones. The cell phones that you have now, that was developed by ham radio operators. Television, a lot of other radio-related inventions, the microwave, things like that. These were inventions. These were things that came about because of experimentation by people who were hams. Just so you know. So the next time you see a ham radio operator in your neighborhood that's putting up a tall tower or whatever, don't report him to the HOA so quick. Realize that he might be experimenting. And the next greatest invention that to come out that we'll be enjoying in another 10 years, 10 or 20 years. This is just something to keep in mind. And that Square Guy's in the chat. He says, live streaming Flubs 2. That Square Guy's great to see you. I'm happy to see you here. I hope you're doing. How's Darcy doing? I hope everybody's doing. Kim Britt says, factoring, it's not hard. There's just so much of it. Okay. Okay. All right. You're having a discussion there with that Square Guy. Okay. And Algorith. Let's see. Anything going on Facebook? Okay. So Ed says, Ed Anthony, I have to keep the Eds which Ed is talking here. He says, I hope Snow White didn't contribute to the delinquency of mine. Okay, I gotta laugh at that. That's funny. Okay, that's your dad joke for the day here, Ed. I hope Snow White didn't contribute to the delinquency of minors. All right. Pete says, had an early start this morning, falling asleep, off to bed, good show. Toasted with my Turkey Hill iced tea. Pearl Harbor Day, got my nod. Good night. Well, good night to you, Pete. Get some rest. Get some sleep. I'm going to be doing that here shortly myself. It's getting close to time, and I did promise my wife I was going to end early, so we're going to end soon. But I also promised an open chat. We're having one now. So this is the open chat, so please get in. Anything you want to ask, anything you want to say, any stories, anything you want to talk about, let me know. We've got a little time for open chat before we go for tonight, and I do the final summary for the wine stream. A Square Guy says, we are knackered. Glad I could catch some of the stream. I've been out in the garden. Had to cut back this monstrous plant swarming with bees. Thanks for not stinging me, Cambred. And he says, how was the wine today? It's actually pretty decent. I'm going to give a final summary in a few moments. But you know what? I do have to taste it with the pie. Look, keep the, just because we had, that Square Guy, since you missed it last week, we were doing dad jokes, good and bad dad jokes. I gave away a couple of copies of this, the 500 Plus Dad Jokes book, and that should be going out very shortly as soon as my padded envelopes arrive to ship them out with. And they should be arriving here Monday, so I'll be going out to the post office. Here's the other thing is that I can usually go to the post office like once a week or so because I have to go into the post office to mail these things, and I have to wear all my PPE, the masks and the, all the gear and everything like that when I go to the post office. Our post office in our area, it was definitely not designed. Oh, and nobody knew this pandemic was coming. Nobody knew it was going to happen. So they didn't really design it for that sort of thing. But since then, our post office, they tried to make some accommodations for the 6 feet apart thing and having only so many people in the post office at a time. But they are so short-staffed right now, especially at our post office up here, that they can't really monitor, they can't really control it. So people will just pour in the door and get in line, and the line doubles around, and they're supposed to maintain 6 feet apart, but I can be 6 feet apart of the person in front of me and the person behind me, but then when the line doubles, swings around and doubles, then I've got people standing 6 feet apart on the other side of me, and they're only like 3 feet away from me going the other way. You know what I'm saying? So, because it's going around like this. And so nobody's monitoring to limit how many people can come in the door at one time. So because they just don't have the staff for it. It's just simply, it's not the fault of the people there at the post office. And the times that I've been over there at the post office to mail, like particularly to mail some of the prizes that I send out to everyone who's won prizes on the wine stream, and I'll go make that trip over to the post office, and I'll stand in line for a long, long time. And of course, this being the holidays, it's going to be even longer, I'm sure. I'm not sure how I'm going to get these shipped out, but I'm going to try. But I can stand there for a better part of an hour and or more. And then when I get up to the person at the counter, you can see these three people. They're like two or three people at the counter, and they look so haggard. They honestly, I have to say that they are still nice to everybody there. But these poor people look so haggard because they are understaffed, greatly understaffed. And some people are actually get up there and they're pretty rough with them because they've been waiting in line for a long time, waiting to be served. And they're kind of taking some of it out on the people behind the counter, which I think is really unfair because these poor people behind the counter, they're just doing their jobs and they're trying to go as fast as they can and be as accurate with everybody as they can and get the job done. And and they're taking the brunt of it. And I remember going there one time, and the person had been there. He was supposed to be this one guy I see him there all the time, but he's super dedicated. But there were a couple of times when I was there, and one time in particular where he was actually supposed to have been off a half hour early. And I found this out from another person because his coworker turned to him and said, "You were supposed to be off the clock half an hour ago." He says, "Well, no, you guys still have people in here. We still have people." That's dedication. That really grabbed me. That really grabbed me, and I just realized, man, this guy, he's actually technically off the clock. He's actually not supposed to be there, get paid to be there, and yet he's still there because there's a line out the door, and he's got to help his coworkers get everything processed. And I thought that was really above and beyond. And I just say, I got to toast this guy. I don't know his name, but I got to toast him. And I want to say to anybody who's in the post office who is having to, go in there and get their patches done and they see these long lines, be patient with these people. Please, please be patient with these people because they're just doing the best they can. They don't run the show. They don't run the show. They're just doing their jobs and they're getting the brunt of everything. I'm just saying, just be nice to them. Be super nice to them because that can make or break them. And I'll tell you, I've seen a couple of these guys on the other side of the counter working their rear ends off, and I can tell that there some of them are in distress. So I'm just saying, here's to the people working at my local post office up here. I appreciate the job they're doing. Let's Square Guy says, never cool to be rude to customer service. Absolutely not. It's never cool to do that. Even when I'm complaining about something, I ask constantly apologizing for complaining, which is cool. That's a good way to do it. I'll tell you who's getting a really big brunt of this right now is at least here in the States. Now, I know where you are, Square Guy. I don't know if it's the same situation there, but And Can Bread says, I try my best to be kind to customer service workers. I know they deal with a lot of pressure and rude people, especially during these times. It's Barnstar says, postal service employees are so patient and considerate in my experience, as are so many others in the service industry. And I agree. And that's a lot of pressure on these people. That's a lot of pressure on them. This is especially true of the service industry where it comes to restaurants. I have seen, and I'm sure everybody's heard the stories of people just going to McDonald's and not getting, you know, all the pickles not on this little $1.10 hamburger I bought or whatever it costs. I'm really angry. I'm going to go throw this hamburger at the worker on the other side. And these people are working for low wages and they're just doing their jobs. And mistakes are made. Mistakes are made. It's just part of life. It's just part of, especially when you're working in a place like that and you're having to process a lot of orders very quickly and trying to get everybody their orders very quickly in record time. Because you're on a timer, and mistakes will be made. It's just the fact. Now there's some time. Yeah, I know the other stories of people who are being malicious. You know, workers who are maliciously doing things with the food and things like that. That's not what I'm talking about at all. It's a completely different conversation. That's not what I'm talking about at all. What I'm talking about is, you know, these work, basically the workers just generally filling out orders and just getting the food out there and just doing the jobs. And, you know, you see the stories, you see the videos of people getting just going off the rails and just going ballistic and, you know, yelling at them, screaming at them, throwing food at them, throwing punches at them. This shouldn't be the way we are. This should not be the way we are. And these people on the other side, you know, the people who are working the counter, they're just trying to get the job done. And it's not fair to them. It isn't. And I've seen how some people are rude to the cashiers at the supermarket. I understand how, you know, this pandemic has everybody on edge. A lot of things have everybody on edge. And everybody's on a short fuse right now, and everybody's frustrated and they're angry and they're fed up and exasperated. Yeah, we all get that. We're all there. And so I completely understand why some people would get impatient. And whatever, you know, so I get that. I've been impatient too, of course, before. I've had those bouts where I've sit there and, oh, you know, can't this be any better? Or, oh, they did this. Well, you know, I got to get through here. But when you work on the other side of the counter, you know, and you're just trying to do your job, you're just trying to get it done, you're trying to do the right thing, and to get railed at, to get cursed at, and to get yelled at, and sometimes punched out, and that sort of thing, that's terrible. Nobody deserves that. Nobody really deserves that. And I think everybody needs to just kind of take a step back a little bit and say, you know what, I got to put myself in the other person's shoes for a minute. Put myself in the other person's shoes for a minute. Maybe that person has been working at that register for like the last 6 hours without a break, and they're just processing this and processing that, and they're dealing with other rude customers. You gotta cut them some slack. I think what the thing is with the servers in the restaurants, I've been reading stories how some of them have just gone through just terrible things where you know, they've just been really abused and by customers. And I understand there's some bad servers, yeah, sure. But you gotta give them the benefit of the doubt too. I mean, these people are they're in it too, just like you are. They're having to deal with the situation. I think what I'm really asking is just be patient with everybody. Just be patient with your server, and just be remember that they're serving you, but they're also serving other people, and they're also dealing with the various issues going on, and they're worried about their jobs too. They're worried about their jobs, especially with all these lockdowns and potential lockdowns coming. So they've got a lot on their plates, literally. So just be patient. If you're going out, just be patient, but just be nice to them. You know, realize we're all in this together, right? That square guy says, let me go back up here a little bit. Algorithm says, totally legit. It's important to tell what's going on and you make it the right. Oh, he's talking to the square guy. Okay. That's Barnstar says it's important to have empathy these days. I never take it personally. And it's really good. It's really best not to. You can't. Because once you do, it all kind of falls apart. That square guy says, when I was working in retail, I always found that one really nice person could make the rest of my day so much better. I try to be that person for others. Ask someone how they are and mean it. Start a conversation with someone and know you're human. Oh, and show you're human and acknowledge that they are human too. It can make a real difference. Absolutely. 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 That Squirker says, I'm also a firm believer that you can find out what a person is really like deep down based on how they treat service workers. Yes, that's true. And you know what else? You know, because people put on a facade. People put on a big facade, and they'll be nice or pleasant to someone. But as soon as things turn a little bit sideways, it's like the true colors show out. I see this all the time on the road. You can tell what people are really like by the way they treat other people on the road as drivers, driving. Oh man, don't get me started on this rant. But I've seen people just, you know, you meet them in person and they could seem like the nicest people in the world, very generous and all that. As soon as they get into a car and start driving down the road, their demeanor, their personality changes. It's like Jekyll and Hyde almost, you know, and they're just like cutting people off and out of my way, you know, whatever. And it's disconcerting, but the thing is, it's human nature. I can see, you know, the person in the car driving around. I'm thinking, you know what? I'm seeing the real person there. I'm seeing the real who that person really is. The way they drive. That's pretty much who they are. That's their personality showing. Their true personality. And the thing is, that can be changed. Some people say, well, I can't change the way I am. I'm the way I am, and that's the way I am. No, you can. You can. If you want to. If you want to change, you can. We're all human. We all have the ability to change and do things, do the right things if we want to. It's a choice. It's like everything else in life. It's a choice. You know? Anyway, off my soapbox again. Let's try this pie, and then we'll have to call it a night here because I've got to get going. So let's try this pie. I'm going to try this apple pie. My wife's apple pie, which is pretty cold by now, I'm pretty sure. That's a really nice apple pie. Desserts generally go very well with wines. Okay, it's true though. And in this case, that's a winner too. I like it. Yeah, the apple pie goes pretty well with that Tempranillo. I think a lot of things will go good with Tempranillo. And let's see. So it looks like Squirt Guy says, my mom's here now. I might be away from keyboard for a bit. Okay, well, I think it's time for me to go away from keyboard. Time for us to pack it up. Once again, we've been drinking this. This is the side-by-side. This is a Crianza 2017 Rioja. It's 100% Tempranillo. This is a Spanish wine from Spain. And it's actually quite good. It's actually pretty good wine. And I like a good Tempranillo, so I have no issues with this wine. It's actually pretty good. It's a decent Tempranillo. It paired pretty well with the steak, and I really liked it with the stuffed cabbage, the cabbage roll that my wife prepared. And there's a vegetable roll. And it went pretty well with all the cheeses, actually. It actually did pretty good with all the cheeses. And in fact, the Trader Joe's Creamy Gouda this time really brought out a little bit more of the flavor of the wine, which I thought was interesting. So I rather like this wine. It's pretty good. And I paid $12.99 for it at winestore-online.com. It's available from anywhere from between $13 a bottle to, I think the highest I saw was $24.99 a bottle. You might not have to pay too much for it. I think they sell it at Total Wine. I didn't really check the pricing there. I think that was around the $16, $17 bottle, dollar a bottle mark. But I think they sell this at Total Wine too, if you can get it there. Anyway, that's my final review on this wine. I think it's actually pretty decent. I would recommend the wine. Although for Ed Panis, if you're going out to, once again, I would recommend the Han, H-A-H-N. We tried that a couple weeks back. The Han Pinot Noir. I think you'll really like that wine paired with what you've got. I hope that helps. So anyway, I hope everybody had a good time. I know I did. I always have a good time. I have a good time, not just because of the wine, but because I'm here with you. And we're all interacting together right here on live on the stream, having a great time. I enjoy this. That's why I keep doing it. I did mention real quick, I didn't mention earlier that I wanted to, I had some news about something I was going to do here, computer build, my new computer. I want to give you an update on that. You're part of the show. Need to know. I am working. You know, I'm working on these old computers here. That's why sometimes I lose feeds on the streams and things like that. So I'm working on these old computers. Well, I'm going to be building a new PC for video production, from audio production, and for the stream. Some of the parts are here. I've got more of the parts arrived this week. I'm still waiting on a couple of parts. Well, actually, four more parts to make this complete. And then I will build a new PC. And hopefully, within the next few weeks, before the end of the year, I will have a new computer. And we'll have all kinds of fun, crazy stuff we can do on the Winestream Live. And we'll all have a great time. That's what I'm working towards. And I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be a lot of fun. As Barnstar says... what's your favorite kind of pie? Wow. I like blueberry. I like apple. I like, banana. Banana cream pie. Haven't had one in a long time. I love banana pudding. I think that's probably one of my personal favorite pies. My wife will not make that for me because she thinks it looks like puke. But she will make me a great, and those are her words, by the way. She will make a blueberry pie, which are quite good, and apple pies and cherry pies, and she made all kinds of pies. I like pie. I'm not supposed to be eating it, but I like it. As Marcia says, oh, right, you still have your pewter news. Yeah. What about, CM Sender says, what about pumpkin pie? Yes, I really like a good pumpkin pie, CM Sender. I do like a good, enjoy a good pumpkin pie. I could use good pumpkin pie by now. It's just that time of the year, right? Oh, it's Marcia says, I asked about voice work. Okay, I see. I missed that up here earlier. King Brent says, personally, mine is apple. Oh, so you like an apple pie. That's good. Nothing wrong with it. This is a good apple pie, by the way. As Barnstar says, Rick, maybe this is a conversation for another stream, but I was curious about the voice work you did in the past. Were they for some of your own characters and projects or for other third-party projects? A little bit of both. A little bit of both. I did some voice work working when I was working at the local TV stations. I did when I worked at WFL and then at WRBW. I did some a bit of voice work there, quite a bit. And then I did some voice work, some freelance voice work, a little bit here and there. And mostly, some of it was for work for projects that I was somewhat involved in already. Some of it was just stuff that the people said, hey, can you do voice for this? And I say, sure, yeah. I did, but I still do some voice work, and I do some of it for my job. It's part of my day job in a way. Of course, I do videos and stuff there, but I do some of it is a little bit voiceover. And of course, I do a podcast. If nobody's seen the podcast or heard the podcast, yeah, I've had enough of this. If no one's heard the podcast that I do on my day job. And of course, you know, I do work for bytwowayradios.com. And I was going to give them a plug, by the way. As a matter of fact, we have a promo code. That's not it. Promo code, bytwowayradios.com. If you go to bytwowayradios.com, get a weather radio. Use the promo code WINESHOW. That's just for you here. Use the promo code WINESHOW at checkout. You can save 5% off your order. That's just a quick plug for it. And winter's coming, everybody needs a weather radio. Use promo code WINESHOW. That is for all of you watching and listening to Drink with Rick. And I don't make any extra money from that. That's just something because I, for full disclosure, I work for Bytwowayradios. Radios. I'm the product manager there. And I also do a lot of other things. I write the blogs. I do a lot of the product descriptions and things like that. And I also, we also do a podcast. I do all the videos, I produce all the videos for the company. But we also produce the podcast, the Two-Way Radio Show podcast. If you haven't heard it, it's called the Two-Way Radio Show. We've been doing it for almost 10 years now. So we're going into our 10th year of doing this podcast. And we just put out an episode the other day, and which is so far has been pretty well received. So it's one of the longest running podcasts for two-way radios. And Dot was nominated last year for People's Choice Awards in the tech category for podcasts. So there you go. So that's what I do on my day job. And I do a bit of voice work there. I've done some other stuff here and there, but you know, nothing that I've pursued seriously. I do have friends that work in the VO industry. I do have a number of friends that work. And why did I pour some more of this? I do have some friends that work in the voiceover industry, and some people I've known for a long time. Some people that I've only known for a short time, but gotten to know them a bit, and fine people. I'm very talented, and they know their stuff. But yeah, I've spent some time doing some voice work. Let's see. Algorith says you really have the tempo. It's impressive. I appreciate that. Thank you. Seam Cinder says that doesn't have weird preservatives. Oh, I guess she's talking about. Oh, she's talking about the pie. Inspiration says you have a great versatile voicer. I'll drop by your website again and check it out. I appreciate that. You poured it because we don't want you to go yet. Yeah, but my wife wants me to, and I need to, because it's been a long week and I need to get some rest. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for being here with me tonight. Once again, we've been drinking this. There you go. And it's a pretty good wine. I recommend it. I want to thank everybody for being here with me tonight. I really, really appreciate each and every one of you. I want to thank, the Eds are here. Ed Panis. He calls himself Ed 2 in here. I should have just said Ed 1 and Ed 2, right? Pete, I want to thank you for being here, joining me here tonight. And Denise, if you're there as well. Tim, I missed Tim in the chat. How did I miss you in the chat, Tim? My good friend Tim Bartlett. I hope you all are doing well. Tim, I missed you in the chat. I'm sorry about that. I somehow I scrolled up and I missed you were there. But, oh, wow. Well, if you're still watching, I apologize. And I really appreciate you being here, my good friend. How did I miss you in there? I scrolled by. You snuck in there. But I'm glad you're here. And my lovely wife, Chi, of course, and everyone in the chat on... You know, I feel really bad when I miss somebody. Somebody's been there and they say, hi, Rick, and I miss them in the chat. I feel terrible about that. So I'm like, how did I miss that? Because you're important to me. You're very important to me. Cam Brad, I want to thank you for being here in the chat. And it's Barnstar, CM Cinder, Algorith, thank you for being here. And, of course, that Square guy, as always, a Square guy who, if you haven't checked out his site, if you haven't checked out his stream, the Square guy, he does a regular stream on Twitch. Check that out. It's really cool. Who else did I miss in here? I hope you didn't miss anybody else. Please. A lot to track on here when you're doing this sort of thing live. There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot to track, and sometimes it's easy to miss folks. Sorry about that, Tim. But I'm glad you're here. Anyway, I want to thank each and every one of you for being here. I really do appreciate it. It means so much to me. I want you to please, please have a great week. Please have a safe week. Do not drink and drive. Please do not drink and drive. Drink in the safety and the comfort of your own home, apartment, hotel room, dwelling, wherever you are. Call an Uber, call a Lyft, call, you know, a friend to come get you, a family member, whatever if you have. But if you're at home, and hopefully you're at home, please stay at home. Do not drink and drive. Do not text and drive. That's a really bad thing. And I've heard of bad things happening. I've seen some bad things potentially happening on the road from people texting and driving. Do not do that. That's not good. Because you do mean a lot to me, and I appreciate you being here, and I want you to have a great week and a safe week, and you can all come back here next week on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.